Today, our moment in time takes us to Seneca Falls, New York in 1848. As many as almost 300 women and men gathered there for the first women's convention in the United States. The participants ranged from 14-year-old Susan Quinn to 68-year-old George Pryor. Wives and husbands, mothers and daughters, sisters and brothers turned out to talk about women's rights. Two women, Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Lucretia Mott, were notable figures. The idea for a women's conference occurred when they attended the 1840 World Anti-Slavery Convention in London, England, and were denied seating and excluded from voting rights because they were women. Both women, ardent abolitionists, were questioning women's freedom after this event and gathered like-minded citizens together to discuss the state of women in the United States. The Seneca Falls Convention didn't provoke a war, but it did lead to the beginning of a women's rights movement that would include many battles in the effort to transform social consciousness regarding equality between men and women. Of notable importance from the convention came a document known as the Declaration of Sentiments. 68 women and 32 men signed their names to this declaration. The preamble followed the Declaration of Independence almost verbatim, with one notable exception in the line, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men and women are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed." Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Lucretia Mott wanted to ensure that the government would not only derive its power from the male half of the governed. These two women were formidable reformers to get the movement started. They were not inexperienced housewives. They were activists with considerable organizational experience. They used the Declaration of Independence because of its appeal to natural rights and social contract. Theirs was a demand for gender equality. As American patriots have once stated their grievances with the King of England as justification for independence from the crown, the Seneca Falls reformers stated the repeated injuries and usurpations that women had suffered, that they had been denied the elective franchise, that they had been compelled to submit to laws in the formation of which they had had no voice, that they had been deprived of citizenship rights and even, if married, legal existence, that they had been taxed without representation, that they had limited participation in education, employment, and other aspects of public life, and, among many more items, that man had usurped the prerogative of Jehovah himself, claiming it as his right to assign for women a sphere of action when that belonged to her conscience and her God. The participants of the Seneca Falls Conference resolved to take action to rectify this inequitable situation and demanded women's rights and women's emancipation from oppressive restrictions imposed simply because of their sex. The Women's Rights Convention of 1848, then, shows that a small group of people with a persuasive argument based on generally held moral beliefs, along with hard work, can create a mass movement for change. In 1920, one goal was accomplished when U.S. women won the vote. But the fight continues to create a society that reflects a belief that all men and women are created equal. I'm Dr. Amy French, Associate Professor of History at Delta, and This Moment in Time is a production of Delta College Broadcasting in collaboration with Delta's History Department.